Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to rock?
Batista with the catch!
And Andy Pettit is a starting pitcher!
I don't think he's pleased.
Raymond Green looked like Duncan from Shrek.
Right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
We're gonna drink a lot of beer tonight.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
I know words, I had the best words.
Am I being punked or something? Or
it's time for
Fanatic Radio.
From Studio 111 via Radio Saigon and simulcast across the country by blogtalkradio.com. This is Fanatic Radio. We are the Millennial Show. I'm your host, Mike Garnett, and the always notorious Ben Florence, live on a Friday night, and we have a very good show for you on hand. Better than last week, I will have to say. Critics did not critically acclaim last week's episode because, for obvious reasons,
participate for a For some reasons, but we're back. A much more tame version of Millennial Show, which I know you're thinking why, but it's the way we roll. And so we do have more sports. We apologize for the fans, the fan mail, but we just had so much on our plate just to figure out what the hell happened with our lives, because that's the more important thing. If the host, if mama ain't happy, no one's happy. And of course, if the host ain't happy, then what are we even doing it for? But you know, it's actually funny, Flo, because this brings me back to our old Friday shows when we actually used to be in studio at the American University.
I like the sound effects we got going in the background. That is fantastic.
Yeah, so that's the reason why we're doing it on Friday, and of course for the bad audio quality. Fanatic Radio is going on the road again, and we love when we have car episodes, but that is what I'll be doing in a few minutes' time, because So a quick story, and we've immediately lost about 90% of our viewers, but. Sorry, last week, it was Friday, and Thursday, and that's another thing. Ever since I moved out here, things have gotten a little bit better in my life. Various Thursdays have turned into, dare I say it, Thirsty Thursdays on various nights at various places. And for the life of me, I don't know what I did last Thursday. I don't know. But anyway, I was so tired. Actually, you know what? Thursday, we had IMSA testing. That was it. Sports cars were here preparing for the 6-hour race at the end of June. And I was exhausted. Then I proceeded to probably drink a lot of the beer in my fridge for no good reason. But hey, you know, let bygones be bygones. So I was very exhausted, very tired on Friday. And as a result, I ended up ditching one of my good friends who's one of our track photographers. And the funny thing about that is every Friday, I don't know, because small town America, he is a big fan of the dirt track scene. Good old slice of Americana, watching heavily modified big block V8s go around a quarter mile dirt track. Not necessarily my cup of tea, but you know what? This is America, and we love it because of that. So I actually could have gone.
That's right.
But I didn't want to go because, like I mentioned, I was pretty exhausted. Yeah, and then I was doing something on Saturday morning, so I didn't want to do that. And the last thing I wanted to do was just be out of control, you know, 3 days in a row. I mean, we love benders, but not all the time. And as a result, he called me out for it the other day because IMSA was testing again up at our track on Thursday. So every time he asks me, he's like, "Hey, you going to the dirt track on Friday?" I always say, "You know, I always punch. I'm always like, oh, yeah, 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 well, I'll see you there, or I'll let you know." which of course is what the missus always says when it means no. So there you go. She's been a good influence on me that I've ruined several personal relationships with my bros. So anyway, I'll let you know. That's the new phrase. And of course, I saw him on Thursday, and he goes, "You come." Because actually, the reason why that first night was like opening day, because for the past month or so, Mother Nature has thought of other things and has decided to not cooperate on Friday. So yeah, like about 3 weeks of racing had been canceled. And so this is the first night. And I was like, I'm not gonna go. It's gonna be a mess. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be reckless. But this Thursday, they saw me again. I did the GT cars testing because you're going to the dirt track on Friday. And I said, yeah. And I always say I'll let you know, but then I always say, yeah, the weather's good. It doesn't rain, because we have gotten some. Apparently the weather that was really bad tornadoes down in Oklahoma. The rain and thunderstorms in Texas. Glad my family's safe. Glad the carnage wasn't that dire in the Southwest United States. That apparently was supposed to be coming up to New York, to the Northeast. Of course, when they say the Northeast, we don't get affected by it because it usually disperses once it goes over the Allegheny Mountains. So it's just a thunderstorm and like hurricane and typhoons on Thursday, and it rained for about an hour. So, of course, Friday's the one day it's actually nice, and I've dug myself in a hole. I can't get out of it. So that's what I'm doing. Jeans, my Team Chevy shirt. I got to wear a hat because I've been to this dirt track twice, actually. Once to actually watch racing, and the other time to just drink in the parking lot before I went home. So, yeah, shout out to Daylight Savings Time, too, because it's like 7:15. It's still relatively light outside. But this, of course, puts me in a jam because Mike Gardner's upcoming weekend, I basically detoxed this entire weekend or this entire week because, of course, LA starts with Thursdays, Mike Gardner's world. Several glasses of wine and one of those, like, fancy martinis courtesy of the missus and her parents. Which is was actually a very fun time last night. Yeah. That was unexpected. We originally had date night, and then she was like, "Oh yeah." I was like, "Cause I was kind of coming late from work, because I was chopping up video." Shout out to our affiliate who gave us some great coverage and encouraged people to sell by tickets. So I was, of course, a little late. So I was just like, "I'll see you there," and she was like, "Yeah, I'm with my parents and their friends." I was like, "Fine, great, get there." Get there and meet up with her. And so that was – so they ended at 8, and I was just like, "What do you want to do?" And she was like, "I'm going to dinner with my parents. I'm going to dinner with them," points to her parents and her friends, and she goes, "You should come with us." And I was just like, "Oh, okay." So yeah. I didn't get home till midnight. I didn't get home on school night, which is always great. So I guess I'm proceeding to drink a lot of beer tonight, but then tomorrow is where my liver will probably get shot, because every year, the year I've been here, first of all, early thumbs up, early shout out to my good friend, coworker Jose Cervantes, received Industry Ambassador Award at the Drive for Diversity NASCAR Awards in Charlotte on Thursday. So. Congratulations to him. Well deserved. Got a lot of coverage. Made us look good. Made him look good. He can pretty much get any job he wants now, because he's now got this prestigious honor on his resume. But last year we had a house party. The first house party I ever attended when I lived in Watkins Glen, and it was great. We did keg. We got a keg. We did keg stands. He broke his hand because he punched the wall because he was so drunk. And so that was forever known, because it was kind of like Weekend at Bernie's. And so because of that, I dubbed it Jose Spring Break, because last time we had it, it was, I believe, like the first weekend in May last year. which is still kind of spring up in New York. So, of course, adamant as hell to throw down because I have a great influence on my coworkers' lives. We were like, we got to put Jose Spring Break back on the books. And this was probably back in April. And we're going through everyone's calendar being like, who's busy, who's not. And, of course, we were going to do the same date, May 4th. Of course, everyone was available that day except me. Why? Because I was driving to Ohio to go to the IMSA race in mid-Ohio with my aunt and uncle. So that was off the mark. So then the next day, I was at the 11th. And then the missus couldn't because that was when she was going to a wedding. So we're like, okay. Because she didn't go last year. But she hasn't been to Jose Spring Break yet. So she hasn't thrown down with us in a non public setting. So then we're like, fine, we'll do the 18th. We'll go the next week. Of course, Jose was like, I'm out of town that week. So I was like, dude, if you could do it, I will do it the 25th. Because you know, originally I was going to do Philly Part 2 with the immortal Brandon Johnson. Because that's where I was last year, Memorial Day weekend. Went to the Ill for the first time and had a great time. I was going to do that again. But then I said, you know, if you are available on the 25th, let's do it. Everyone is available. Put it on wax like 2 months ago. Jose Spring Break is this Friday. Which is great because back in April, I get an envelope in the mail from my another coworker who I'll give a shout out. Oh, his name will be disclosed at the end of the show. Because I'll give him a thumbs up and shout out. He's getting married the same day. And so I'm originally thinking, you know, we're not invited because I know him, but I don't really know him that well. Just as much of a coworker standpoint. All of a sudden, letter on my desk when I get back from lunch from him. They invited me to their wedding. And so I go from Jose's spring break to then get cleaned up to then go to my buddy's wedding, which of course I originally didn't get invited to the wedding, just the reception, which I'm okay with. But his words were, quote, to help us finish all the alcohol that we bought. So I'm basically, you know, the Mariano Rivera of drinking for tomorrow night. Got to come in and close it. Got to save the day. And now my day goes from, like, noon tomorrow. That's the time I'm going to get to his house, just so mainly I can just drink beer and play video games until other people show up. But it goes from that to then I got to, like, cut myself off, get cleaned up, go to a wedding, and then drink some more, go into the night. And on the flip side, Sunday is the greatest day in motorsports, which
that's right.
I proceed to go on a drinking marathon from 9 in the morning, the drop of the green lights in Monaco, to, God forbid, a decent driver doing burnouts at the Coke 600. So Saturday, Sunday is going to be such a wash. Oh, and by the way, I get the day off Monday, so Sunday is the new Saturday, and I'm going to a barbecue on Monday, which I'll have more beer in my system. So this is good. It's going to be rough, but I will document it for the fans, for you, the good, for everyone, the good people. Oh, man. And that's where we're going to start. Not me, but Sunday. We love racing on the show. We are obvious not closet racing fans.
Amen.
And we love it. I think I'm more excited this year for the Indy 500 than ever because I don't know. Is it because NBC has it? Is it because Fernando Alonso couldn't even qualify for the 500? What are the three races are you more looking forward to?
I am very intrigued, like you, by the Indianapolis 500. I mean, the whole Fernando Alonso McLaren fiasco, like they were struggling to find like a driving wheel after he wrecked the first car, and just a complete mess of a qualifying day, which was so bizarre, and yet is why Indianapolis 500 qualifying. You know, sometimes it's like, do we really need to stretch this out over like the whole month? But then you get all the drama weeks ahead. And it's wild. And also, yeah, you mentioned the NBC coverage. ABC's coverage of the Indianapolis 500, really for it seems like for years now, especially because ESPN and ABC has really moved away from racing, it almost felt kind of like an outlier, and then it was like, oh, yeah, that's on ABC, that's right. So I think NBC should be able to give it a big game feel. Coverage is being hosted by your boy, Mike Tirico. And you know, you got the whole cast of characters, the great Lee Diffy, who we love, the Speed Channel legend. I agree with you. I think I'm more excited for the 500 than the 600 this year.
Well, I'm with you on that because, you know, the racing was actually exciting during the All-Star race. But I don't know, is that the same package going to be used with the 600?
I would guess so. I don't know that to be certain, but I would assume so. It would be kind of weird if they used different packages, but maybe they'd want to spruce up for the All-Star race. Who knows? But I would guess it is the same package.
Yeah. Also to mention, Dale Jr. is going to be at the 500. Never been. So I'm curious to see what he's going to do. we'll get off racing really quickly. All three races. Who are your predictions to win?
Oh wow. The problem with picking Formula One is that I haven't followed it. So going off of absolutely nothing, I'm going to pick our boy Lewis Hamilton to win at Monaco. Mm. The Indianapolis 500, gosh. Let me take a look at the starting lineup real quick. 2019, Indianapolis 500 on NBC Sports. How about that? Fabulous Logan again this year. All right, so on the poll is our boy Simon Pagenaud. How about that? So here's who I'm going to pick. My pick to win the Indianapolis 500 is going to be we're going to go with the great Will Power, who's starting on the outside of row two, sixth position. We love the Aussies. Will Power, I think, is going to win the Indianapolis 500. And then in the Coca-Cola 600, as we saw William Byron winning the pole, which he said was one of the biggest moments of his career, and good for him. But I am not going to pick him to win the Coke 600. My pick to win the Coke 600 is going to be let's take a look. How about this? I'm going to go with the Team Penske Ford. Joey Logano is going to be my pick to win Sunday night at, I would say, Lowe's Motor Speedway, Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yes.
Coke 6.
Long live Motor Speedway.
That's right.
I will push as well with Lewis Hamilton winning the Monaco Grand Prix. But, Indy 500, that's the thing. It always comes from a big team, but it's always the guy you sort of least expect. So my pick is Joseph Newgarden, where he is
– nice.
He's clearly got the full might of Penske behind him, and Chevys usually do well at the 500. Plus, he's not like a he's not Pagenaud. He doesn't have a pole. He's not Will Power. He's not the defending race winner. And he's not Elio Castroneves. So I still love how Penske is like still trying to prod him to win another 500, even though he probably won't. So then you got the one outlier of that whole group. Gotta be him. Gotta be an American. Love the Americans when they win, because it is our race, not Europe's. Not South America's. And for the Coke 600, just going off of on what happened last Saturday night, first of all, shout out to my boy Kyle Larson picking up the $1 million check. Completely came out of nowhere. Rowdy Bush was last year's winner. He took the mile and a half. Yeah, you have to have a good pick for Ford. But I'm going to go from a different stable. I think Happy Harvick's going to win. Clearly had the best car, the millennial car. The Coke 600, the All-Star race. Should have won. Should have won that race if it wasn't for, you know, whatever rules they have for it. Kevin Harvick. He hasn't won in a while. He's won this year, but it's been a while since he's been in victory lane. And he has won this race before. He's going to do it, and he's going to do it for his owner, Smoke, who got announced that he's going to get inducted in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. So there we go. There's our picks. That's Sunday. Great day at Motorsports. Shout out to my aunt and uncle that are going to the Indy 500. They're like mad I wasn't coming. I was like, well, I have a life. I got stuff. So we talk more sports. Let's do it. Let's roll forward. These are issues that I actually wanted to bring up. That the fans also brought up. I'm going to steal it and make the questions my own. Something we didn't talk about that you mentioned, that we've mentioned, that's been in the air for a while at the mothership, ESPN, Stephen A. Smith. So what is has his deal been signed yet, or is it still like in the mix?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? I got distracted by some work shit. Apologies.
Always. Says Stephen A's deal, is it official or is it still sort of like rumors?
What, Stephen A getting a new contract? I don't believe, I have not heard anything that is official yet. It seems to still be in the cards. But it's one of those things too where, you know, people hate on Stephen A. And when rightfully so, Stephen A is a complete goofball and a clown, and we all know it. But you know what? He is entertaining. We have to give him credit for that. He does work very hard. He does shows all over the place. He does First Take. He's got his radio show. He's got, he appears all night on SportsCenter. He's on the road. So he does work his ass off. So I give him credit for that. And clearly ESPN, I mean, they wouldn't just, you know, throw him all over the air just for the hell of it if his spots did not draw. So, but it is kind of crazy that this guy, who at one point left ESPN, and his talk show, quite frankly, failed. And so it's crazy that now everything's come back. He only was brought back on First Take to be kind of like a rotational guy. And then just the whole Stephen A., Skip Bayless thing just exploded onto the scene. And then now Stephen A. is now apparently the top dog at ESPN. And whether you love the Embrace Debate thing, you hate it, it seems like he's going to be a key guy at the so-called worldwide leader for a long time.
Well, that's actually one of the fan mail questions. They said, Stephen A. Smith's deal makes you feel what?
Well, I mean, you know, I've never really minded Stephen A. that much because I never took him, like, seriously. I always preferred him to Skip Bayless. And... I just took him as entertaining. I didn't really take him seriously as a news source, and that's why, you know, I always love when people turn him into memes because it's hilarious because he is such a goofball, as we all know. I've never really had an issue with Stephen A. I don't regularly watch First Take. I think it's more watchable now with Max Kellerman instead of Skip. But, you know, if ESPN sees the value in Stephen A, and we know FS1 would love to fry him away, then I guess it's valuable to them. But, you know, it's one of those things where you see guys, veteran guy, you know, their top college football radio guy, Bill Rosinski, just left, got a contract not renewed. And then they're prepared to give just a massive amount of money to Stephen A.
It makes me feel sad because it's what, like a man of his nature is what is now the norm on television. It's kind of the last thing that we need in life, because everything is such 100 miles an hour and stress and angst and depression. Now you're basically rewarding a guy who has dropped the N-word on television before. And then no repercussions for his actions.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel sad. I don't like that because, you know, it's what example does it set for anyone? You could just be loud, obnoxious, and loud again. And that's the thing. That is the new norm in this country. It can get you a $10 million contract on a television station.
it can win you the presidency. It's like there's no filter. There's no boundaries. It's like the world is a basketball court where the lines are stretched all over the place. It's like old NCAA rule that they got rid of. We can call timeouts while airborne. You can't do that anymore, but now in the new world, you can. It makes you feel sad. And, of course, what does not make me feel sad is more on the way. There's a lot of fan mail. There's a lot happening in sports, and we will cover it all because that's what we give. We give the people what they want, you know?
Fanatic Radio.
You know what ought to happen to them?
No.
They ought to be stabbed by cocktail forks.
The reason you wake up on game day and put on your team's colors.
Fanatic Radio on
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. My guard have been flying. We're back here on Fanatic Radio. We're getting in the car right now as I grab a water out of my fridge, realizing it is 7:30. Your boy is on the road again, to quote the great Willie Nelson. That's the thing is, I don't know. The problem with New York is you don't know the weather. I don't know the weather, at least. I underestimate it all the time. It's 63, but it's cloudy, and that means it's like 5-10 degrees colder. But, yeah, you know. It is what it is. So as I organize myself, get in the car. Flo, how was your week? Apparently things on the hill and 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue have heated up. Have you been in the midst of all of it, or safe distance back in Noma?
I've been able to stay in the bureau, so not in the heat of it. Really, the big news this week was a meeting on infrastructure that was supposed to go down between President Trump and key Democrats on both sides of the hill. And then President Trump decided on a whim, like, you know what, we're not going to do this until you stop the investigations. And the Democrats were like, we literally just met 2 weeks ago with the same investigations going on. And Pelosi had said that Trump had been involved in a cover-up, and so Trump just happened to, put together this impromptu press statement, but really a rant, yelling about the Rose Garden, and it was just completely out of control. And then the back and forth just continues, and you know Trump is on the way right now to Japan for a weekend of meetings and such, the new emperor of Japan. And so President Trump clearly has a lot of his mind, and a lot of on his mind is being driven by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and just the back and forth has just been so bizarre and out of control. It's been something to watch.
Is it like personal vendettas, or do each side have like a legitimate case?
I think Trump just realized he can't run over Pelosi like he can other politicians, because Pelosi will give it to him and holds firm, and Trump will just melt down. And, I mean, this idea that, you know, we have these investigations so Trump can't talk about infrastructure is just bizarre because, again, they were just talking about infrastructure. So we'll see where it goes from here. We've had these back and forths before. And Trump's now out of the country. We'll see what happens when he comes back to the country, I believe, Tuesday afternoon. Hello, Mike.
One thing I was going to say is I love the fact when every time he goes out of the country and every time he comes back, he always gets it again, which is fantastic. But politics aside, how is the rest of the week, or more importantly, any big weekend plans?
Well, my big weekend plans involve working on Saturday and Sunday as I do every other weekend, and I didn't request this weekend off. I will have Memorial Day off. So they were able to give me an off day on my normal weekend. so I guess that's nice of them. They don't deserve any credit, so I won't give them any. But I will be working this weekend. We hope, knock on wood, it's a light weekend. There's not a lot going on. Trump's out of town. The Congress is out of town, obviously. So we hope it's going to be quiet or quieter than usual. But you know how it goes, and you know the people out there know how it goes. Just the hopes for quiet days are just for naught. It seems like.
I know we long for the days of quiet. Who is not quiet is our fans, because they send in fan mail, and we actually write checks. We do cash, so we will have fan mail, big sports stories this week, and of course we start with the softball one. Fans on Flo, what is the better coaching job that you would want? Juwan Howard going to Michigan, or the surprise that his predecessor, John Beilein, is going to go coach the Cavs?
Well, I think, you know, I like Beilein a lot. I think Beilein has proven he's a really good coach, a good offensive coach, and a guy, not necessarily a great recruiter, but somebody that gets a lot, just about everything out of his teams. Wherever he's been, West Virginia, now Michigan, he was there for like 12 years. He was there even longer than I thought. But he's also 66 years old. He has no NBA experience. And so this is going to be an intriguing but odd move for Beilein. For Juwan Howard, clearly Michigan wants him to follow the footsteps of Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway, high school AAU coach, goes to his alma mater, Memphis, immediately injects a lot of energy, some tremendous recruiting class. Got the top recruiting class in the country coming to Memphis next year. We'll see how well he can coach it up. But there's also a long list of coaches, like legendary alums, that went back to their alma maters and were not particularly good coaches. Clyde Drexler is one. Sidney Lowe was a disaster, even after NBA coaching experience. Him at NC State. Chris Mullin was obviously a fail. Patrick Ewing has been, it's early, but who really knows. And so, Juwan Howard, part of the Fab Five, beloved Michigan Wolverine, from the Midwest. He's been coaching the NBA since 2013. I think that's a solid hire. I think that he should be able to come in, inject some energy into the program, and try to keep the high level that Beilein had. And so I think you'd rather be in his position, because now he's a beloved alum coming home. And there's going to be a lot of energy around him and the program, but we'll see if he can pull like a little Penny Hardaway. But it's going to be interesting to see how John Beilein adjusts to coaching in the NBA. So I think, Beilein's being paid handsomely. I think you'd rather be Juwan Howard.
Yeah, I'm all for the college coach, because, you know, people say, people don't want to become college coaches because they don't want to do the recruiting, which I think is such BS, because you can recruit anyone. It's just a matter of you as a coach. Like you were saying with Beilein, you get the best out of his players. You know, he made Mo Wagner an NBA star, an NBA player.
That's right.
Just think of all the NBA talent that came out of Michigan. Trey Burke, Charles Matthews, Abdul Rahman, Bez Delic, or not Bez Delic, he's a coach, he's just the coach of the Rockets. What's his name? The guy from Lithuania, who was a freshman this year. He's going to be probably his first round pick. I don't even remember what his name is. Bogdanis or whatever. Paris LeVert. So they had studs on that Michigan team. NBA is such a different animal. We say it, you know, every time when college coaches go to pros, like how we laugh in the face of Cliff Kingsbury to think that all he can do to change the culture of the NFL is give his players more breaks. I don't get at all. And throw 60 times a game, but I think college coaches is easy. Because the NBA, you have to bring your A game every single night. I mean, Brad Stevens could do it because he led Butler to two straight finals. Not final four, two straight finals. That was a mid-major school with a bunch of Indiana kids.
And he inherited a good Cleveland team with young talent. Same with Billy Donovan. He inherited a good Oklahoma City team. John Beilein inherits a very bad Cleveland Cavaliers team. With like an injured Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. I don't even know who else is on that team. J.R. Smith, though, he's probably gone. It's definitely college coach 100%. The only problem is, though, it's a good college coach going to a bad NBA team, and it's a guy who's never coached college going to a pretty good college program. Because the Big Ten is in a cupcake conference, especially in basketball. Now Michigan State made the Final Four. So I'd be very shocked if John Beilein went to the NBA at 66. Fans want to know, what do you make? What do you make of the whole Lakers fiasco? Pointing fingers, Magic gone, Jeannie Buss is throwing everyone under the bus. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I mean, the fact that Magic Johnson went on First Take, which, I mean, okay, he's, you know, a citizen, he's allowed to do with that, and then just completely throw everybody else under the bus, rat out Pelinka, say he was a rat. Even though everyone thought they were a package deal, you know, coming in together, but then it turns out that wasn't the case, and they don't like each other, seemingly. But Magic also was like, you know, I told Jeannie, I didn't think this was going to be a, you know, I'm not here full-time, I have my other businesses. And that should have been like a first flag to everybody involved. If you're going to have a significant hand in personnel, if you're going to be calling the shots, that's not a part-time job. He can't go vacationing around the world for months in the summer, not be involved, you know, not be, you know, actively scouting, you know. So this idea that he was this involved, but he was never going to be that involved, completely bizarre. And then also the fact that he goes on TV, Bill Simmons made this point the other day, and just completely exposes all these problems, like, you know, Jeannie's brothers are trying to get involved and all of this and all of that, and just made them look even more dysfunctional than they already were. I feel like Jeannie Buss, and I'm probably guilty of this, probably thought, you know what, she always been seemed to be a smart person, could run the team. You know, Jim Buss was a fiasco after Dr. Jerry Buss died. But Jeannie Buss, you know, she's running out of road in terms of the – is she actually a good owner? Does she know what she's doing? Or is she just a clown, but nobody wants to say it because they like her personally and so on and so forth? So
right.
The Lakers are just a complete and abject fiasco right now. They're now going into this offseason. You know, here's another thing. They hire Frank Vogel, but to appease LeBron, they bring in Jason Kidd, who coaches a completely different system, was not a particularly strong head coach. I mean, look what the Bucks did after he left or got fired.
Yeah.
And then so now he's going to be like he's going to be basically like, yeah, and then that was not particularly a strong tenure either. And so now he's going to be like this basically a head coach 1A. I mean, the whole thing, and, you know, you got LeBron, but this roster is a complete mess. Because Magic or Pelinka or whoever you want to blame did a terrible job last offseason, with the exception of bringing in LeBron. So now they're in this position to where, who are they going to be able to sign now? And so they are just a complete and utter disaster. And it's comical because the Lakers have been bad for years, but we thought they were in this rebuilding mode. Then they bring in LeBron, and then now all these skeletons have been pulled and wheeled out of the closet. So It's a train wreck. They are just a train wreck right now.
We love that, though, because what better drama than Tinseltown? It makes me happy because it was all this going on and LeBron not in the playoffs. You know, it's almost like nothing happened. The Lakers still, even when Kobe was there, the Lakers sucked. They continue to stink. Even when you get one of the greatest players of our generation, they're still a mess, and now all the dirty laundry comes out, and it's just one thing after another. I think it's hilarious. I think who cares, because the fact that they tried to, the whole Anthony Davis thing happened, and then they tried to get whoever they wanted to get head coach, and no one wants to coach the Lakers. because no one wants to Brazil.
Exactly.
No one wants to go to the West. No one wants to run to the bloodsaw that was the West. We clearly saw that this year. And no one wants to deal with LeBron's ego or Kobe's former manager, Kobe's agent, as the general manager. I think it's ridiculous.
Yep.
But we have seen worse, but not this worse. Shout out to the Lakers, though, because they will not be good next year either. The fans want to know, Flo. We have, of course, for those of you that didn't have Showtime or didn't watch it, Jontae Wilder won in dramatic fashion.
Oh, good.
Literal KO. Is he the most feared? Even though he should have beaten Tyson Fury, is he the most feared man in boxing? And where does the buck stop with him?
Well, with Wilder, he's now rocketed and become such a star in the sport. I mean, that knockout punch was just vicious. Whether you watched the regular camera feed or if you saw the overhead camera. I mean, that was just a monstrous right hook, and it was spectacular to watch. And I watched the fight live.
It made his face do like a ripple effect.
And not only that, if you listen to, because the overhead camera had audio, I mean, the pop that you hear is like, oh my God. It was wild. And so, Wilder had just a fabulous rant like a few days before the fight where he's like, hey, this is the only way where, we're intending to hurt people and, knock them out. And this is the only sport you can really do that. So, by punching people. So, that was fantastic. We love Deontay Wilder. I'm totally on the bandwagon. As to what's next, I'm not that familiar with the wrestling, the rest of the wrestling landscape. But he's a keeper, man. He's wild, and he is extremely fun to watch.
Well, they say he's like the only guy that stands in his way. So I hope that gets organized quicker than, because we love how the heavyweights are back. Very sort of Ali feel, even though they actually fans of Ali. They're very much Tyson-esque. We love how he's got swag. We endorse swag on this show. Speaking of swag, speaking of Ali, what do you fans want to know? Flo, LeBron producing a Muhammad Ali documentary. Good, or is it going to be a disaster? Or has too much been made about Ali?
I think Ali is one of the few kind of characters we have in our history where I don't think we can ever have enough about Ali, because there's just so much to explore throughout his career. The whole thing with the draft, his protest, just as large as a life icon. And so there's just so much, I think, to explore. I don't think we can ever really have enough of it. He's one of those guys who I just want to keep, learning more about. Because every time you hear somebody tell some new stories and some wild stuff from back in the day, whether it's, about any of the fights or the Howard Cosell stuff, I mean, it's just extremely fun. And I have no issue with them doing returning to the well, if you will.
Yeah, because they had the Will Smith movie when he was Ali. ESPN attempted to do a 30 for 30. And then I want to say there was another documentary about it that the same people who produced the great Senna, the Aaron Senna documentary did. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Other than that, I don't know much. It's funny because we know so much about him, but we know so little about him, which I think is great. Because, like you were saying, he is one of those very interesting characters in life who sort of oeuvre and lore just transcends him as a person completely. So, it's by LeBron, so there's obviously going to be straight up bias. But I'm curious to see if, because that's the thing. I mean, I haven't watched anything that LeBron has made. You got those nonsense shows with the shop. You got like Jimmy Kimmel and what's his name? Like Lonzo Ball in the mix, and
it's like, okay, these guys are, you know, not great people to be talking about current events. But then it's like, oh, Muhammad Ali. Now this is a serious subject that is that will be taken to heart by a lot of fans, a lot of boxing fans, a lot of sports fans, a lot of Fight the Power fans. So I'm very curious to see what he does, because I haven't watched anything of LeBron, not even his games. But I'm very intrigued to see how this is going to end up. But I'm excited. We need, other than Ali, we need more other sports figures with good documentaries, because we love good docs.
That's right.
And rightfully so. Let's see, more fan mail. What else is going on? Oh, yes. Rumors that people want Peyton Manning to become a GM. Shut up, or legitimate good idea?
You know, it's one of those things where I don't see it happening. Everybody throws around whether it's Monday Night Football, they won't try to make a run of Peyton Manning, or Thursday Night Football, Fox, a year ago, or, you know, teams always talk about him coming to a front office. I just don't see it happening, certainly not with the New York Jets, which I mean, you know, they've had their own issues. You know, they have their GM, which has not done a pretty good job. What's the guy's name? I'm drawing a blank on the former GM of the New York Jets. It's irrelevant, and now he's irrelevant, as you point out astutely. But why would he take over that job? Now he doesn't get to pick the head coach. The head coach has already been hired this offseason, Adam Gase, your boy. So I just don't see why he would take that job. And I think the people that are like, oh, well, we need Peyton Manning. Like, if Peyton Manning wants to do anything, if there's anything he wants to do, he's going to just do it. I mean, he's Peyton Manning, for crying out loud. He could be good at anything, but I don't think we should just take a guy and just make him the GM a couple years after he retired. But he's like, you know, he's been involved in the game. He's done that detail show on ESPN Plus, which I haven't really watched, but I hear is good, kind of like the Kobe one for the NBA. But whatever they're trying to go for here, I mean, this idea that Peyton Manning is going to be the next GM of the Jets is just absolutely absurd.
Well, it's like he's such a legit guy that I don't get why people want him. Why people want to just like trash his career? They want him to go off into the sunset like he did when he won the Super Bowl, but they don't want him. But they want him to be constantly in the mix. So I don't know. Peyton Manning, Nationwide is apparently on your side. And of course, our last question. Before we go, thumbs up, thumbs down. Who wins the Eastern Conference Finals?
You know, I've been saying all along Milwaukee, but for Toronto, I was very impressed with how good they looked last night. For Toronto to come back and to go win the third in a row at Milwaukee, and now going back home to Scotiabank Center, whatever they call it in Toronto now. I think Toronto has to be considered the favorite here. I think that Milwaukee really was unimpressive in the first two road games of the series. So I don't see really what makes me any reasonably optimistic that they're going to come back and look strong in game six. So, you know, surprising to me, and I'll just be wrong again, I think it's
got to
be Toronto.
It's funny you say that, because I think it's like Toronto plays well when Kawhi Leonard wants to play well. And we all know Kawhi Leonard is so hot or cold. He like wants to try, or he has this like piss poor attitude where nobody wins. I think Milwaukee pulls it out, because it's a matter of just who wins four games. So Toronto has been knocked down, or Milwaukee has been knocked down twice. So they know. So now it's a matter, because I believe Bulldozer is a better coach than Nick Nurse. And that's really all you need in terms of game plan and sort of the schematics that go behind it. But, it's, I mean, Golden State wins, and they have like 2 weeks almost. They have like a week off before their next game. So it is clearly fantastic that we're still waiting, because we thought Milwaukee was going to like run through Toronto like a freight train. And it would have proved us wrong. Other fan mail. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Coming up next.
You cannot be serious!
But it's time for thumbs up, thumbs down.
That's right, a critically acclaimed segment, what's good, what's bad. In the world, it's not in sports, it's not in pop culture, not in movies, just the world. Flo and I, Mike Garvin Flores, Smack Radio. Catch the podcast on iTunes. We talked some shop about LeBron, the Lakers. What else did we talk about? Oh, the greatest day of motorsports coming up Sunday. Love. Oh, so dearly. And Dante Wilder, most feared man in boxing. So time to put all that aside to know what was good, what was bad. Ben Flores, thumbs up, thumbs down.
All right. Thumbs down is going to go to, I'm not going to name this person, because we had a new desk assistant work on our assignment desk, which is a gig I did back when I started at Fox, and it was a gig I really enjoyed and kind of put me on the path to where I am now, just a complete news hound and a legend. So we hire somebody, and she seems good, and she's training. And then I get an email today that this person, who I knew she had, like, worked on a hill or something, or worked for a congressman, but we found out yesterday that literally a day after she was hired, like, early in the month, I think, like, May 4. On May 5, she was indicted for election fraud, because what happened was she was working for a congressman who represented Virginia Beach, who has now since lost, Scott Taylor. And what happened was his campaign was accused of committing fraud, like signing fraudulent, getting fraudulent signatures to get a independent candidate on the ballot, because it was in an attempt to split the vote so it would be easier for the Republican to win. So this woman, again, new employee, literally a day after they find out that she has been indicted and could potentially spend some time in jail if found guilty, which is just completely unbelievable. And it's one of those things where first I heard that this had happened, and I was like, when did she get hired? And then I find out that, so to take, you know, as much as I love to blame Fox for everything, I find out that apparently she got hired the day before she got indicted. So she started, was here for maybe a week, maybe a little less. She started some point last week. And then one of our guys, our editorial guys, found the article, flagged it.
Unbelievable.
And it was the same person I saw the mugshot. And then the bureau chief has to fire that person. I found this out today. And I told some people about it. And it's just one of the most out-of-control things I've heard, particularly with any Fox hires. We had some great Fox hires, obviously, myself and others.
Yes.
We've had some terrible Fox hires, but I've never seen any Fox hire, at least in my time, fired because they were under investigation by the government. I've been subpoenaed, which is just completely out of control. So she seemed like a nice person. I had never met her. I heard good things, but not anymore. So, thumbs down.
Dude, that's wild.
That person. Yeah, I mean, how many times do you hear stuff like that? And so, we'll see whatever happens with that down the line. Thumbs up, you know, I alluded to, you know, you mentioned Dale Jr. And I had always heard about the Dale Jr. Download, which is his podcast, and which he's also got a TV simulcast of it on NBCSN, like Tuesday nights or something like that. So,
and I
follow Dale Jr. on Instagram, and he always says, like, hey, I'm here with so-and-so for the Dale Jr. Download. And so, and I had never listened to it. And
you know, I'm trying to get back into more podcasting. So I listened to the first, the most recent episode earlier in the week, and it was the episode they did last week with one of the top guys in NASCAR, Mike Helton, which I was like, I think this could be interesting. You know, Mike Helton's been around a long time, you know, a veteran NASCAR guy. Doesn't seem like a crazy person, but, you know, the Dale Jr. Download podcast, so out of control. And, you know, guys are swearing left and right, but they bleep him out. And a lot of really unfiltered but fun opinion, back and forth, some good old boy talk. And then they had this really fascinating conversation about Mike Helton, how he got started. You know, he started in radio and then started working promotions at Atlanta Motor Speedway and moved up. And has had a bunch of different roles. He also, you know, the world really got introduced to him on the day that Dale Earnhardt Jr. died, the 2001 Daytona 500, because he was the one that had to break the news. And he had been close with Dale Earnhardt for a long time, which obviously added a little more, emotional heft to this conversation. But if you're like a longtime NASCAR fan like you or I, and if you're certainly a Dale Jr. fan, and you're not checking out the Dale Jr. Download, I mean, this show is fantastic. So I'm now a subscriber, and I plan to listen to it whatever I can. So whatever you're looking for podcasts, beyond this one, of course, you always got to listen to this one first, and then you can check out the Dale Jr. Download. Nice.
As slow as honk that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the driving in D.C. is just so inconsistent and just all over the place.
Yeah. That was very, very tame thumbs up, thumbs down. Yes, Dale Jr. Download, very interesting, great episode. Because I think he's now branching out to getting interesting guests. Because before, it used to always just be the basic NASCAR guy, like, oh, here's Kyle Busch, here's Denny Hamlin, here's so-and-so. He had John Force on his show a couple of months ago. Absolutely hilarious because John Force is like in his 70s and is probably snorted so much octane that he's lost all of his brain cells. But I didn't realize John Force is good friends with Dale Earnhardt. Shout out to the 80s and 90s. I have one thumbs up. I had a couple. I'll ramble off my thumbs down because I have a very good thumbs up. Thumbs down goes to the Buffalo Bills bringing back, letting a player wear number 32. For those of you who don't know, it's O.J. Simpson's number. Now, I understand the Bills are trying to turn a page, but that number has positive and negative connotations with it. Negative of the fact of everything that's come with O.J. Simpson, but the fact the man is in the Hall of Fame, winning as a Bill, that would be like the Broncos bringing back number 7. You know, it's because John Elway is just mad. So thumbs down to the Bills. And I'll give one thumbs up and one thumbs up only to my man Chris Duane, coworker, corporate sales manager. So everything is going right for him 2019. Got a promotion, rightfully deserved. Has all these clients, a lot of responsibility. And, of course, Saturday he gets married to to his fiance Jess. I'll be at now. Maybe I'll crash the wedding because it's like down the block. But I will see him as a married man. So thumbs up to Chris Duane. Thumbs up to the Duane. The kid is the first guy I ever met who was born and raised in Watkins Glen, and he is the mayor because you can't go anywhere with him without him running into someone he knows. He's an all-American hero. He hunts turkey and deer. And he drinks beer. And he wears off-brand everything. Raise hell and praise Dale. Thumbs up to Chris Duane. And eternal happiness for him. Because we love that. And I'll do it for this episode of Fanatic Radio. We'll be back next week. God only knows what happens. But you'll be the first to know. You know, sorry, it's been Florence. I'm Mike Gardner saying so long. We'll see you next time.